matter? What are you doing?
Champagne, dear, to welcome you home. Let me pour you a glass.
Whose is the car?
The car?
Locking the drive.
There you are, dear. Cheers. Well, nice to see you again. How is the opera, then? It finished early, didn't
it? Whose car is it?
Mine. It's a beauty, isn't it? Where'd I leave my drink, Archie? Ah.
Who is this?
Don't you know?
How do you do, Mrs. Leach? I'm Harvey Manfred Jensen. I'm with the CIA.
CIA?
That's correct, ma'am. I was just telling your husband here before I had to go to your beautiful bathroom. We've got a high-ranking KGB defector in a safe house near here. We're debriefing him as of now, and we're just checking all the houses in the neighborhood.
For what?
For KGB.
Is there any danger?
No. No, not now. We just want to keep everyone informed. So, Archie, thanks for the drink. Sorry to trouble you folks. I'll see myself up.
Keep everyone informed?
So there's no panic, ma'am.
But isn't it a secret?
You have no idea how secret.
Well, why are you telling everyone?
It's a smokescreen.
What?
Double bluff. Look, you obviously don't know anything about intelligence work, lady. It's an XK Red 27 technique.
My father was in the Secret Service, Mr. Manfred Jensen, and I know perfectly well that you don't keep the general public informed when you are debriefing KGB defectors in a safe house.
Oh, you don't, huh?
Not unless you're congenitally insane or irretrievably stupid, no.
Don't call me stupid.
This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this
is Dan Walters.
What was with that break? Were you making like a character choice?
Know.
Just like, I'm going to sit down and stare at the camera that doesn't exist right now and let people be uncomfortable.
No. We're still idiots on this side.
Yeah, we are. Actually, so I've been watching Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars.
Because it's on Netflix now.
It's great, and it's on Netflix.
No, I don't believe
it. I actually really like the show. But
if you're lying.
Whatever. And one thing that I've noticed that I'm kind of upset about, but not really upset about because I didn't actually watch it at the time, is that it's not actually in the right order.
Yeah, they've reordered it, and I'm willing to bet they probably did a re-edit somewhere.
I'm sure. I was surprised because the first show was literally 10 minutes long. And the next one was like 20. And they kind of fluctuated.
Like
which is fine. It's kind of cool, actually.
Because I think the earlier episodes, like, they were really short. And it's not until, like, later on he started doing, like, 20, 25-minute episodes. Makes sense.
Yeah, but there was actually one guy. Who was the last one that I watched? I saw Gary Shandling.
Mm-hmm.
And he did something like that where Jerry said something like, you know, they always say that, you know, you always have long pauses or something like that. And then there's silence for a good, like, 30 seconds.
I remember. And then Gary Shandling, if I remember, they were in the actual stand-up room and he was talking about doing a bit.
They went to the comedy
about
store.
Like standing up on stage and being like, it's great to be here, and then walk to the next side of the stage. It's great to be here. and how I thought that was funny because I'm an idiot.
Oh no, the joke was even better than that. So what he said is apparently he was on the stage in front of somebody kind of ripping into them, and he said, all right, listen, I feel bad, right? I always do this. It's because you're in front of me. If you go sit over there, it'll be I promise, right? Mm-hmm. And the guy actually moves. Mm-hmm. And then he picks up his microphone and goes in front of him and starts ripping at him again. Yeah.
It's great to be here.
I just remember something to that effect. Yeah. So dumb.
Why is his stand-up special so bad then?
Gary Shandling?
No.
Oh, Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah. That stand-up special wasn't very good. But then it was... The structure of it could never have been good.
Of course, it could have, Douglas. No, if you were funnier.
But we're not here talking about stand up.
To be fair, I do remember he had a stand up just about maybe a year or so after he finished his show on HBO.
Yeah.
And I remember saying, I'm going to, and I hated it.
Yeah. That is what I was going to go back on. I don't think I've ever liked any of his stand ups.
But I love his show. It's great.
I don't remember it. So
I do, because I'm actually almost finished it now.
Of course you are.
In my run through.
I know you are, but what?
But more importantly, we're here to talk about a film. A very important film.
Flim.
About 2017.
Flim. Say it properly.
Flim. Sorry, it's Flim.
Thank you.
And given that today, the day we're recording, is the day that the Oscar nominations comes out, makes a lot of sense because we record on Tuesdays normally, right? Yeah, cool.
Sure.
All the time. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about the new Martin McDonagh film, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
That's all what you can and cannot say on a billboard. I assume you can't say nothing defamatory and you can't say fuck, piss, or cunt. That right?
Or anus?
I think I'll be all right then.
I guess you're Angela Hayes' mother.
That's right. I'm Angela Hayes' mother.
So, Mildred Hayes, why did you put up these billboards?
My daughter Angela was murdered 7 months ago. It seems to me the police department is too busy torturing black folks to solve actual crime.
The hell is this?
Dixon, I'm in the middle of my goddamn Easter dinner. Sorry, kids.
I know, Chief, but I think we got kind of a problem. Sunshine
beating on a good time. I'd do anything to catch your daughter's killer.
I don't think those billboards...
So, can I start by saying I haven't watched this movie?
I know you haven't. Me and Damien were placing a bet the other day as to whether you'd seen it.
Oh, my God.
Because, so... I was away. I came back on Saturday night, and I was looking for it, and it was totally not on VOD.
Right.
Nowhere to be found, and all I could find was a DVD screener. Yes. And at that point, I said, you know what? Fuck it. And I watched it. I'm going to wait for something, at least HD.
You did a reasonable thing. Because heaven knows you can't enjoy a movie without the proper definition.
I mean, it's been so long, and I just imagined... like the worst case scenario of whether it would be blurs or watermarks or black and white cuts or words going across the screen. And I was like, you know what?
No.
I don't want that.
Yeah, you're better than that. you'll be happy to know none of those things.
No, but it was in SD.
Sure. Guess what? HDification doesn't make the movie better or not. just like music, if it sounds like shit on cassette, it won't sound better on CD.
You don't know that.
No, I'm sure.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Damien, music on a cassette.
I remember trying to prove to myself that cassettes were as good as CDs. You'll be happy to know that I was wrong. Cassettes are the best. Oh my God. Well, Douglas, you've made a terrible mistake. Because you're going to wait on a movie that you're going to love.
Oh, of course,
and
I'm going to love
it. Seen it earlier.
Yeah.
The movie won't get worse when you watch it in HD, you dipshit. So, the movie is about awful things. It is about a young girl that was raped and murdered. It is about her mother trying to get the police to basically take some action. And then the movie is then about more awful things. That's how the movie begins. And then there is a suicide. And then there is arson. And then there is homophobia. And all of the things that are bad in racism. All of the things are bad in this movie. Except because the man is a goddamn genius. He finds some way to make it funny. Now, is the movie still sad because of the subject matter? Yes. But he's so good at writing. And the actors are so good at their jobs. That there is... I laughed harder in this movie than in most actual comedies. And that is what I found most impressive about this movie. It feels... It is the best Coen Brothers movie I've seen in a long, long time. Easily since True Grit. This is the best Coen Brothers movie I've seen since True Grit. And I'd argue it might be better than True Grit.
Hold on.
This is the best Coen Brothers movie. I have a very important question
to ask.
I mean, I think that's some strong words there.
Are we saying that Inside Llewyn Davis isn't better than True Grit? Because I have a problem with that.
I'm saying it. Inside Llewyn Davis isn't as good as True Grit. I love Llewyn Davis, but it ain't no True Grit.
I'll give you for the Western
bias. I haven't
watched
True Grit for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah, you're talking to somebody.
But I just feel
inherently.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Llewyn Davis.
I love Llewyn Davis. Don't get
me
wrong. I enjoyed Llewyn Davis a lot.
Also, remember, you know, and here's, you know what? I'm going to go with Damien on this one, and let me tell you why. I can't actually remember which one is better, but I do remember not liking Llewyn Davis the first time I watched it. I didn't have that problem with True Grit,
yeah,
so
True Grit is
better. Yeah,
and this movie equals True Grit, if not surpasses it.
And Llewyn Davis,
and
both movies are great.
Like watching him deal with this subject matter, and he's not like the movie isn't. Like it's not a straight up comedy. It's not like he set out to have people laugh at all these things. He's just written these characters in such a way. They're such dicks. All of the key characters are such awful people that you can't help but laugh. And there's times that they're literally doing things to each other deliberately to make fun or make their lives worse.
Wait, hold on. Yes. Let me just get this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Martin McDonagh.
Yeah.
Mike McDonagh's cousin or something like that. Just made War on Everyone.
Yes. That is a straight comedy.
I need to watch this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, dog. I don't often look... Douglas, I've been on the HDU wagon way longer than you. I remember some skepticism from you folk when I said this SD shit is for the birds. Like, no, it looks good. I'm like, you people are high and drunk.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And
it took Iron Man to fix that problem.
And I had to look past all of that. And this movie is so good that until you reminded me that I watched it as a screener, I forgot. And so good this movie is. Now, the thing about this movie is, because of the subject matter and because of the tone, I can see people hating this movie. And I fear one of those people is on this podcast. But this movie is so good that, like, remember how people didn't like In Bruges because they were high and drunk?
Mm-hmm.
That is what this movie feels like. Mm-hmm. It feels like people will see what the movie is talking about or what the subject matter is and take offense from something that was not meant to be offensive.
I heard you just call my name,
point.
Take offense.
Yes, yes. Take offense and go to the other side. But Douglas, I enjoyed this movie. From the very beginning to the, like, this movie ends and it is the only part of the movie that doesn't feel truly Coen Brothers is the ending of this movie, because it is there's nothing definitive about it, and the leads in the movie aren't in a way shittier position than when they started. But everything else about the movie, it feels like peak Coen Brothers. Like, it is at punching weight. It is, I don't want to say it's better than In Bruges, because I haven't done an A-B test.
Yeah.
It's better than Seven Psychopaths, though.
Easily, okay. Well, all right, here's what we're going to do, right? I'm just putting this out there. So you have made, Damien,
yes,
some very strong arguments,
mm-hmm,
for the positives, for calling this movie a great film.
Yes,
film. Actually, perhaps even cinema.
Yeah, right.
Now, I haven't watched this movie, so I can clearly be the judge,
right,
of whether this is, you know, cinema or hot garbage.
Yes.
Now, Andrew, you on the other side of the fence, because we've decided you already have this position.
Yeah.
You need to come up with a rebuttal.
Right.
You need to come up with an argument, because this is the debate club, of why this movie is hot trash.
She said begin.
And I will decide. What?
Damien will know what that means.
Yes.
Oh my God. So, herein lies my thing. And Damien, you are incorrect. Right?
Ah.
I do not dislike this movie.
No. Wait, no. He just used a double negative.
Yeah.
Right.
But here's the thing. The last time we talked about a truly great movie, warn everyone. He was on the wrong side of history.
Yes, he was.
So at least this time he's on the fence.
He's getting closer. I took offense. I know I'm here.
Right.
Herein lies my...
And if he's on the fence, we can take that fence and
right,
move it to
exactly,
the right,
okay, to the yeah, right yeah, side of history.
Herein lies my thing with this movie. And it involves me talking about a few things that Douglas might not know about this movie. I don't think I'm going to go like straight ruining everything about the movie, but there are a few key things about this movie I want to talk about, and this is kind of what I was afraid of / looking forward to talking to you guys about this movie, because my fear talking about this movie is that both of you would watch this movie and latch on to really hard the actual act of all of these people being dicks to one another, which is heavy in this movie. And don't worry, Douglas, it is there for the taking. There is so much in this movie of just people one-upping each other in ridiculous fashion, in the greatest Martin McDonagh way. I actually rewatched Seven Psychopaths like last night and today after rewatching this movie last week. And because I just wanted to kind of readjust myself in his movies. And Seven Psychopaths, as we all know, is a more ridiculous story. Like, at no point in that movie does it ask us to really deal with moral quandaries. It's just ridiculous shit in that movie, and it works for being ridiculousness. This movie, on the other hand, deals with a lot more human, a lot more gentle things, even, and the movie reminds us of it constantly. Not only talking about like the actual inciting incident, which we never actually see. Like, the movie opens up a year after Frances McDormand's daughter has died, and her buying the billboards. There, in that moment, watching her buy the billboards start with the one-upmanship of dickishness in this movie, we get this small moment of her literally helping a little bug on her way, who is on her back, right? And I think that is like the tiniest version in this movie of it showing us that these horrible people are actually really good people deep down inside, just using assholery to their own advantage. But the one scene that I always point to, which kind of shows how this movie kind of fractures for me, and really in enjoyment, and it's not really me not enjoying the dickishness, it's just what this movie really felt to me. There's a scene in the movie in which Frances McDormand is taken in by the police and interrogated. Damon will know exactly what scene I'm talking about. And Woody Harrelson and Frances McDormand are just going one after another, right, with just curse words, epitaphs, just ridiculous shit, which is hilarious, and just feels like that enjoyable dickish movie. And then something happens and everything stops, right? All of those two characters are gone, and it becomes a moment of like a gentle mother making someone feel okay with what just happened. And that for me is why I don't feel as strongly about, the truth is, I still, having watched this movie twice now, I don't feel as strongly about this movie as I do about the rest of McDonough's movies. It's not me outright saying I dislike this thing about the movie. It's just that the movie just shifts completely in like a half second from being ridiculous shenanigans of assholes being assholes to gentle, loving, kind-heartedness in the weirdest of ways. And I don't know how to really feel about it. I don't know if you felt this at all, Damien, if you saw things like that. And that's not the only time this happens in this movie. Right?
Yeah. The thing I really... that is the part of the movie that I really appreciated. It is showing that a lot of times when people are being dicks, it is just an act. Nobody's like that all of the time. It is fun to watch it in movies, watching people just be the worst people in the world. What was the UK show where everybody was just awful all the time? It was like the West Wing, but the UK version. And everybody was...
Oh, shit.
Oh,
In the Loop is the movie.
In the Loop,
the TV
right.
show is a different name, but yeah, I get you.
Right. In the Loop is the prime example of where they write people and they're just the worst. They're just like, I'm going to write a TV show about the absolute worst people being the worst people at all times. But that is not what this movie is. People are hurt and so they're retaliating. But deep down, without the thing, without these triggers, they'd be nicer people. It's just a put on. She's hurt that she's lost her daughter, so she's been the worst. The deputy is hurt because his mother was the police person before him, so everyone keeps picking on him because of his mother. Woody Harrison, he's the only truly nice person there, but he realizes the only way to get through to her is to be a dick from time to time. And that is the situation with most of the characters in the movie. They're doing and saying these awful things, but it is just to do and say them. None of them, nobody's trying to do things to legitimately hurt and destroy everybody. And Woody Harrison is the one that understands that, and that is why he is kind of a pseudo narration, and that is what I enjoyed about the movie. That he was allowed to go, yes, these people are acting like awful people, but the truth of the matter is these people are just hurt, and so it is the way they're lashing out.
And I get and that.
The swings are harsh. I get it. That is the part of the movie that I think might drive some people away. Because it's times when this movie is really somber, truly focused on the awful things that are happening. And the characters seem repentant and kind. And then instantly they're back into being dicks. And that is, I found that refreshing, because that's basically how me and Douglas are. Like, we say awful things all the time. So on its face, we're truly the worst.
I haven't seen the human switch yet.
Alright. But say something were to happen to you, Andrew, we're not just going to, like, we're going to say awful things, but it doesn't mean we're not going to try and help. Right? When you lit your computer on fire, we laughed. Of course we laughed. When we helped you build a new computer, everyone just go, ha ha, oh, you're an idiot. And then just walk off for a fall. Like, that's not what happened. Right?
But, and I'm with you, Damon, because, and I think that might just be it for me. The swings, as you say, are harsh. Because,
yeah.
Like, when I think about this movie, I actually think of it in two pieces. I think of the dickish hilarity of this movie, and I think of the real deep cuts of just sadness and empathy that this movie gives out. One of the scenes that really got me rewatching this movie was the flashback scene that we get of before all of this movie. It takes us back to the night before the incident. And just like watching that scene play out. Like, that scene on its own, without context, could have felt in place with every other dickish scene this movie has. Right? But within the context of what's happening and what happened, you watch it and there's nothing but heartbreak. There's nothing but just just you going like, oh my god, that's so fucked up. And I feel that, like, I'm not discounting McDonough as a writer in any way, because I feel this movie is a magnificent piece of writing, if nothing else, in finding a way to create this weird piece of entertainment that at the same time feels probably the most human of movies I've seen all year, out of last year. Because there's so many moments in this movie, and it's really the tender moments where I just watch it and I'm like, this just feels so, this feels lovely. This feels like, I want to see, I would die, I'd pay $1 million to watch Martin McDonagh make a movie which is just end-to-end lovely. The way that he writes all of the, like, tender scenes in this movie.
It would kill him.
I mean, as much as I enjoy scenes like Francis McDonagh, Francis McDormand walking into the station calling Sam Rockwell a fuckhead, right? Or even the ridiculous way in which they deal with people of color torture jokes, right?
Yep.
Like, this movie is special in no uncertain terms. But at the same time, this split in the way I feel about this movie made it hard for me to want to even bring it up when we were talking about our favorite movies of last year a few weeks back. Where I just didn't know how I really felt about it playing together, because I don't know. It's one of those unique movies, if nothing else. And I would never refuse. I'd never look at anyone who didn't like or love this movie in any way wrongly, because it's one of those strange beasts. But you guys, I was like, oh, I'm going to come on this podcast and you're just going to list off dick jokes, aren't they? But Douglas isn't.
We'd never.
But Douglas isn't can't do it because he hasn't watched the movie, so I'm okay. I'm safe.
Yes, Douglas will be back with us next week. I've kicked him off the podcast. For not doing his homework. He's a garbage person. Hello.
Hello.
He's broken back in.
So in that scene, cold. Damon, when Superman appears.
he's just missing me.
So I totally took off my headphones and was not listening this whole time.
He didn't want to hear it.
As soon as he said, and there are some things that Douglas doesn't want to hear, I said, okay.
So when Iron Man shows up, right, and Sam Rockwell does a dance and defeats Iron Man, and then this movie becomes tremendous.
Then Godzilla shoots out a fireball, which was, I mean, that was spectacular.
But yeah, Damien, this movie is special, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Andrew can see that it's special.
So Andrew doesn't like it.
You love. No, he is confused. He doesn't. There's some tender moments in the movie, juxtaposed to people being real pieces of garbage. But the swings are almost instantaneous, and it's giving him some problems.
Okay.
Yeah. because he's weird. He's a weird one.
I have Makes feelings.
Sense. He wants Martin McDonagh to make basically a crying movie. That's basically what he wants.
This movie is a crying movie, though.
Incorrect.
And that's where I knew this Damon was going to come out when this movie happened.
I haven't heard about crying movies in a long time.
Have we not used that term in a while?
It's either a Western or a crime movie. Yeah.
Two type of movies.
It's dumb.
I grew up in a very special family.
Yeah, I also think the end to this movie is really strange.
I like
but it. I'm not going to talk about it specifically. Like, it's one of those endings where it feels almost like the movie went like, well, we did whatever. Like, for me personally, watching the
Douglas,
movie.
Douglas, even if I described the ending of the movie, wouldn't do anything. Like, you just go, all right, I guess that's how movies end.
To me, watching this movie, the two times I've watched this movie, I always felt like maybe you could have ended it like 2 minutes before. Right, like, don't have that conversation. Like, when I hear the conversation, I'm like, this just feels weird, but all right. And I honestly, I'm confused. I don't know. Like, I don't know really where I fall in this movie other than I appreciate a lot of the positives in this movie. It's two, three movies to me that are all perfect movies, but put them together, I'm like,
He appreciates.
Oh boy!
Yep.
Oh boy! He's getting off the fence.
That's code speak. I'm wrong about this.
But I think the side of the fence he's getting off is not necessarily the right one.
Speaking of being on the wrong side of history, you both loved a movie by Chris Nolan.
Did I? Which one? Oh, really? This one here?
And yes, that one there.
Oh boy!
And I, having seen some more movies from last year, I'm no confident. And I'm rewatching Dunkirk. Mm-hmm. I'm no confident Dunkirk isn't in my top 10. It made it there because I respect and appreciate what Chris Nolan has done for me throughout the years. But that movie ain't great.
So you're a bad person. We know this already.
No, I understand that.
So you're saying this is finally Chris Nolan's fall off for you? Like, he's.
No, but that is the thing. I expected his fall off to be spectacular. I expected Eyes Wide Shut type.
Hey, don't say anything bad about Eyes Wide Shut.
Fall off. Like, leave. Something I could point at and go, oh, he's lost.
Leave Eyes Wide Shut alone. That movie's fantastic.
I leave it alone hard. I'm going to continue
so
leaving that movie.
So what
alone.
Are these movies, pray tell? That you have watched that has turned your mind. Okay, cool.
And there's another movie that I want to talk about, but it's not you won't see it for months because it is not in the proper definition.
Oh yeah, what's it called?
That's alright. You will find out later.
No, tell me no.
Nope, never.
What is it? I want to know.
But
actually, I'm quite happy that Thelma is now on VOD, so I can watch that very soon.
But I sat down and rewatched Dunkirk, and. Especially seeing it again, knowing what that movie was. Like, I said it on the top 10. That movie, like, there's nothing remarkable about it. Not for me. I understand that he plays around with time. And he does it well enough that it takes you a while to understand that it is not one continuous movie.
Yeah.
I get that. He's a master at shooting and editing.
But
movies.
Not even just that. I mean, he plays around with time in such a way that you don't realize that it's Bane really has transported from Batman into Dunkirk.
Into Star Fox. But, and I like the visuals again. And there's parts of it that you see and you're like, boy, war is hell. Here's the thing, though. I watched a documentary on the Vietnam War for 18 hours this year. Ken Burns is not joking around. And, I've seen a lot of World War II movies.
You've seen things.
You've
come back and,
I
you know, this is just disrespectful to their memory. Is
no,
that, is that where we're going?
No, I'm tired of seeing
this war.
Sick and tired?
And not sick and tired. And seeing people. Like, we get it. It was a shitty war. But unless you have something else to say, like, what the shit, man?
Unless you've got something else to say.
It feels boring. Like, this movie is the first Chris Nolan movie that felt like a boring movie. And it feels weird to say. I know the movie isn't bad. I have eyes. No better. And I hope at some point I am... Maybe there's a... Like, at given enough time, I'll be shaken out of this malaise. This, but for right now, I watched that movie again and just went, I put this movie out on my top 10 out of sheer blind loyalty. Like, this movie is not on your top 10.
And wasn't it fairly high too?
It's 10. I put it at number 10, yeah.
What?
I was like,
I mean, it's high numerically.
Yeah. It's just like, I have to put this in there because Chris Nolan did a movie, but dog, this is 10.
That's like me and Lego Batman. It really shouldn't be there, but. That is essentially the Hobbit of this year.
But I enjoyed Lego Batman.
I love Lego Batman.
Yeah. So
it's, and you know, there's so much to say that if you watch it, because what I did is I watched it at the movies once, loved it, and kind of put it away. Mm-hmm. And that alone is fine, right? You can kind of lie to yourself and say, well, it probably wasn't that good. It was just a surprise. Then it showed up on television. Actually, I think it was on HBO Now, and I just clicked it, and I just said, you know what? I watched like 5 minutes. I burned through all of that movie and loved every minute of it. That movie is just superb.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
It's why Ninjago is such a disappointment.
Have you actually watched
it? Yeah, I finally watched
it. I don't know about that. Well, I guess you're confirming my suspicions.
It's the made-for-TV version of those movies.
I see, okay.
It's not... garbage. It's not what a movie with Lego supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad.
So it's not Lego Movie Part 1.
Yeah. No.
It's
Lego Movie Part 1 is good. That's like
compared
good
to this? Oh, okay.
No. Stop it. Stop it. You behave. A thing called Lego Movie should be one of the worst movies of all time.
Which it is.
I'm going to stab you. Lego Ninjago isn't there. It's okay.
So it's better than the first Lego movie.
Talking about 2017 movies that we all hoped we'd put in on our list but didn't get around to, I have a few that I want to talk about. One I know Damien's already seen. So, I, Tonya.
Yeah.
I know Damien.
I, Tonya would have
Damien loves this movie.
I want to watch that movie so bad.
The movie's good.
Oh my God. I don't know, Damien.
Oh no.
And no, this is another movie I feel is very much like Three Billboards, where I feel Damien latches on to the dumbness and the ridiculousness of this movie.
Yeah, they're real monsters.
That's a reasonable position to take.
And then at the very end, they're just like, listen, like, we play dicks on TV, but this is a real thing that happened to real people. And if you guys could stop being asshole to the person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and everyone still hates Tonya Harding.
Yeah, so apparently...
She's just trying to be a normal person.
No, I only know this because of this movie, because things have happened and, like, you know, it gets press.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently she didn't actually have anything to do with the lead pipe thing.
Yeah, she didn't.
This whole time,
everyone
in my mind...
Everyone, like, convicted her.
My gosh.
Her
I have husband, like, images of her doing it herself.
Yeah, her husband is a dipshit. But everyone was just like, yeah, you and your husband. Because you're a piece of shit. But because I lived in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I only saw the report because we knew she was a good skater. And that's the only part
that's
that I can
pretty
consider.
Much all we
I
knew.
Didn't realize that all of America hated her up front. That part
up front.
Didn't,
oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that she was considered white trash.
Was it that what's her name? Not Natalie. The other what's the one that got the beat?
Oh my God, I'm so tired.
It's N, right? Isn't it?
No. Let me just type Tonya Harding.
Natasha.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan. Thank you. Is it that she was like the all-American sweetheart and Tanya was not?
No. So what happened is Tanya Harding is white trash. Her parents are poor.
Well, I see that from the trailer. Yeah. And by the way, that's one of the things that make me want to watch this movie so bad.
And so apparently what happened was her mother, like, she was good at skating and her mother continued to push her.
Yep.
And she was just good at skating. Mm-hmm. But her, like, people didn't like her dress or her hairs. Like, she was the fairy princess.
Yeah.
The music that she played, like, we loved it at the time because it was modern popular music.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently all of the skating world hated her.
They're like, but where are the pan flutes?
Exactly.
where are the strings?
It wasn't until now that I realized that people had it out for her from the off. So the second this happened, mm-hmm. everyone just went, aha.
Okay,
you're done, son. But I was I would have been 9, 10 when that happened.
Yeah, we were so pretty young.
But Damon, you were watching sports, right?
What? What was that?
So you were watching. Excuse you me? Were watching figure skating, right? Because
yeah, of course I was. I saw we were cheering for her to get in on the run up to that Olympics, and when she got in and then was trash, me and my sisters were all upset. It's like, why would you do this? Because the move that she could do, she was the only one that could do it. And that is why we loved her.
Mm-hmm.
At least maybe my sisters knew at the time, but I didn't realize that all of America skating and America by extension hated her face. And it was until watching this movie, I'm like, holy shit. Like, she, people have hated her for years and no one even entertained the notion that she legitimately didn't have anything to do with this. And no, she's just trying to be a normal person and move on.
Yep.
And people are still giving her shit.
Oh yeah. So much so that I saw an interview, I read a piece of an interview of her recently. I think it might have been on Pitchfork or one of those related sites. And I don't think I read enough to get a good enough tenor of what was going on, but she struck me as somebody who's just like, you know what, you hate me, all right, fine, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
Right.
How else do you live through that?
I know, right? Yeah. And so much so that, so somebody I love, and I think Andrew does, but I don't think you care for, and I'm going to sound very pretentious by trying to pronounce his name the pretentious hippie way, Sufjan Stevens.
Okay.
He actually recorded a song for her called something like Tanya or whatever. And they asked her about it. She's like, how do you like that song? I don't like it. He can fuck himself. Yeah. Pretty much. I paraphrase, but you know.
Yeah, that's the long and short
and,
of it.
And I imagine her like smoking a cigarette while she's saying it. Like, and, you know, with a pregnant pause, like... He can go fuck himself. Yeah,
at no point I didn't realize that she being poor and not dressing like a princess was part of the reason everyone hated her.
Wow. Yeah.
I just, like, none of that ever registered to me.
We're all horrible people in our own special way.
I mean, I guess I was like that from the very beginning, but I've never understood having, like, outside things dictate how you treat people at the sport that they do. Like, if they're good at it, they're just let them be good at the sport. Who gives a shit?
Well, no, I mean, to be fair, sometimes they kneel and then you just
or they sell you sleeping jackets like Tom Brady. Or the TB12 book. People hate that man.
Let's not talk about Tom Brady.
Holy shit.
I'll get emotional.
Oh my god.
Are you rooting for the Eagles, Andrew?
I'm rooting for
for Blake Bortles. He was straight Bortles.
Blake Bortles. But what about Jordles?
He was rooting for Blake Bortles.
Go Zach Ertz. Come on.
Has that show finished yet? I feel like it's finished this year.
The Good Place?
Okay.
I hate this.
Yeah,
no, it's still going. Like, there's a new episode tonight.
I hate this week to week. Nice. I'm very upset.
So, I, Tanya.
Yes.
Um, this movie feels to me a better version, but another attempt to make a Wolf of Wall Street movie. Right? Where,
yeah, I can
where everybody...
So what you're saying is she's gone back to the movie that made her. Yeah, okay.
Where basically we have these ridiculous people who are ridiculous, stupid, abrasive, and and they fetishize their lives in weird ways just for comedy. And at the end of the movie, all I could stop thinking about, so I don't know, Douglas, how much you know about Tanya Harding post skating, right?
That she told the world to go fuck itself? Yeah, I know that.
There's something that it talks about at the end of this movie, that apparently for a little bit she was a boxer. Because...
Yes. I didn't know that. I don't know that that's a real thing that she did, or if it's a celebrity thing that she did because she wanted to, for whatever reason. But yes, I did know that she did at least a few like celebrity fights. Was it real?
Yeah, at least the movie made it. See, I haven't looked it up, obviously.
No, when I say real enough, I don't mean, sure, the celebrity fights were probably real, or maybe they weren't. No, I mean, was she really boxing?
Really boxing.
Okay.
And the thing about it is that throughout all of this movie, you can talk about it being the girl who was poor and still tried really hard and became a great skater, but people kind of gave her shit regardless, which, and all of the ridiculousness in it. But somehow, at the end of that movie, when everything that happened happened, and we're talking about this, like, imagining, like, she didn't even do it, right? And all of the persecution and her just being like, fuck the world. Like, so much of this movie, to me, cries out of exploitation. And it, of people, just even of her and her story, where we're just fetishizing this ridiculousness, right? Right? Mm. And me sitting there, I'm like, no, I'm not down for this. Right?
Yeah. I draw the line here.
So what you're saying is that you don't like the movie because it's good, but it...
It made me feel things. It made me feel things.
Yeah.
It is on the wrong side of your moral compass.
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Sounds about
That's right. Part of it, yes.
Yeah, a reasonable thing to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I think the coal is affecting brain parts.
All these, like, torture porn movies that you watch, Andrew. Mm. Let's talk about those.
But those are fake.
Oh, okay.
Ah. Those are top to bottom fake.
Yeah, just like morality.
Like The Division. Fake morality. Like The Division. It's all fake, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right, because we are all united. There is no division.
So I also got around to seeing the Spielberg movie, The Post.
I have not. Apparently it's over here, actually.
Uh-huh. And it's Douglas.
Caribe.
Yep.
The movie that you have in your head is the movie that they're going to show you.
That's right? What I figured.
There are a lot of little technical things I like that Spielberg does that he always does. But for the most part, I'm like, it's an okay movie. Right? I'm not going to go wild over it. I still think of his more recent films, I go to bat for Bridge of Spies. The rest of it's meh.
All right, so I was about to ask. So you really like Bridge of Spies, but you think this movie is okay? I'm definitely not watching this movie.
Yeah, that benchmark is bad. Does Meryl at least
does try she stream? Hard?
Yeah, she does. She does very well. Okay. There are a couple of scenes between Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep, which I really love. That are
worth the price of admission. Except not at Caribs.
And bad. FYI, this is the beginning of the Washington Post movie universe, cinematic universe. So watch all the President's Men before this movie. So what's
the
next movie?
The New York Times?
Good. No, that's
just
fine.
No,
just
keep
move
going.
On.
Yeah, we should not.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good that you didn't catch it.
I'll hear it when I listen back.
Yeah, apparently. Or actually, you know what? Whoops. Yeah. I think this just got deleted.
Oh, look, I edited part of this podcast. It's not lining up.
Weird how that happens.
Silence.
The other movie I watched, I got to see Paul Thomas Anderson's newest movie, The Phantom Thread.
So much.
And
I don't want to live at a good college.
Oh my god, guys.
I don't want to hear it.
Just
keep it to yourself. When we get to seats, then we can talk. I know it's good.
It's also good.
It's still
good.
Only an information stub in my goddamn Google Play account. I couldn't even pre-order it if I wanted to.
Next December 13th before I can watch the movie.
Damon, it's so good.
40 years in the future.
Daniel Day-Lewis and fashion.
It feels like he's time traveling. Like he's able to see movies from the future. Like movies that don't really exist.
Yeah, that's what I've caught up with.
That's it. Guess what I caught up with, guys? I watched Detroit.
How was Detroit, Douglas?
Sucks.
I saw you actually bought an album of that movie.
Yeah, you loved it so much you bought the soundtrack.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
I do like that song.
I bought the soundtrack for one song.
Uh-huh. I mean, you have the Motown mix and you have one song.
Yeah, the Tupac song. Yeah. Thug Life. Right.
The one that the black guy
sang. No, Damon. He was white. It's Detroit. It's where they oppressed. So it's a white person who sings the song.
Okay, so Bubba Sparks is the head of...
No, Eminem.
I need to update that reference. Are there new white rappers?
No, Eminem just released a new album, so we can keep using him.
No, I said new. Everyone hates his new album. And that is from people who get paid to like everything he writes. There has to be a new white rapper that I can mock.
I guess the one to mock is Macklemore.
Oh right, but he does.
But no one likes him. Back.
Yeah. You could talk about what's that rapper that Pete Davidson, is that his name, pretends to be. You could make fun of that.
I don't remember his name.
What's the one from Bling Ring? What's his name?
Bling Ring.
Yeah.
I didn't actually watch that movie.
Andrew.
That's sad.
Knows who it
I want
is.
To watch that movie.
What does he call himself?
Riff Raff.
There's somebody right. by the name of Riff Raff.
Yeah, there's a rapper called Riff Raff.
I do know the name, but I don't. Because
yeah.
I don't follow
well,
that shit.
But then
really.
Then it's no fun because you guys won't get the reference. Yeah. It's like Riff Raff and you're like, Damon's losing.
Yeah.
He's off his medication.
But yeah, that movie keeps going, doesn't
it's
it?
It's bad.
And you know what's sad is I remember thinking this, right? I remember thinking, boy, this movie's just, it's long. It mm-hmm. just keeps going and going. And then I paused and I was maybe 45 minutes in. Mm-hmm.
That section when they're in the house feels like 4 hours.
Yeah.
It's like, what is... And the acting is so bad in some
well,
spots.
Well, I suppose in some spots, is, but just, I mean, I wouldn't go down that road.
There's some of the reactions to some of the stuff that happens. No human
but this
person
movie,
has ever
then
had that reaction
to it pretends
to
be a documentary and sometimes and then it's oh a real my. Movie sometimes it's... and you know it oh it smacks of importance.
Yes.
I mean guys right. come on
right.
Just go back to making vampire movies it's... please.
No what? Don't ever say that again. You know she's better than that. She knows she's better than
but
that.
But I love that vampire.
Yeah, but
movie.
You're wrong.
So on an aside, no longer talking about movies. I finished watching for the first time an anime that if you talk to anime people, it's like the greatest anime that ever existed. Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh boy!
Ooh.
Oh, you went back in time.
I went back
this
in
one.
Time yeah. for that one. Holy shit, it's bad.
Yeah. If you had said, Damon, should I watch Evangelion? And I've got Andrew. Do not do this.
Like, it's strange to me because everyone talks about that anime with like, oh, it's so crazy,
with
psycho.
Reverence.
Like, mm-hmm. it deals with the psyche of all of these people. Like, there are a couple things I like about that anime. There are a few episodes in there which are whimsically mecha action fun.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, that show is just mm-hmm. trash. And I don't even know why I pushed myself to watch all of it.
Because you're like, people like this. There has to be something there. There's nothing.
Oh, so bad.
Damian.
Hi.
I know you haven't watched this show.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson. Please tell me you've avoided Black Lightning.
Oh, I haven't seen a bit of it. I assume it's horrible.
Do you intend
no,
to watch
I
it?
No, I will not.
Because he's racist. That's all that is.
Oh my God. Uh-huh.
How bad so, is it?
I'm not gonna say that it's horrible, right? It's listen, in the we so have, it is in the ilk, right? It's in the
we have a scale. Is it better than
it
Arrow?
It actually is better than Arrow.
Leave my Arrow alone.
I'd have for years.
But so I pressed play, and I had to stop. I had to stop about 5 seconds in because I was laughing too goddamn hard. And I think this might be, like, you know, we laugh about being mean and being mean to be funny. I think this might actually genuinely be mean. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't stop laughing because I press play and I noticed there's a song in the background that I kind of recognize. And after a few seconds, I realized, wait, this song is Strange Fruit. So they're going super hard down that road. And for some reason, that just...
You just couldn't take it anymore.
I couldn't take it anymore. I was sitting there for like 5 minutes just dying.
You're just like...
I almost sent you guys a WhatsApp about it.
I know they don't think they're racist. It's pretty racist.
I then calmed down and continued watching the show. Which ended up being adequately stupid. But... Boy,
that's pretty good.
And of course, the theme song is rap. Of course, you know, of course.
The raps.
But yeah, I'll see how this goes. I didn't mind for. To be fair, after the first hiccup, I didn't really mind the rest of the show. it was, as I said, better than Arrow. I do know why I still watch that show because I'm an idiot and I've decided I need to know what's happening in order to understand what's happening for when they cross over. Because I'm a moron. Yeah. Same reason for Supergirl, because I don't think Supergirl is better than Arrow. I think Supergirl is a weak link.
Is now the worst one?
No. From day one, it was the worst one.
There's that time
You should know this, Damian. They are wrong.
Okay. Right? No, I watched the first season of Supergirl.
Oh, really?
And thought it was better than the Arrow.
Oh, no.
It was in the second season where I realized, I think this is bad.
Damian, there was a point, I think it was about 3 episodes into the first season, where I said, I'm never watching an episode of this again. And the only reason I watch it today is because there was a super crossover. And again, why do I do this? I don't know. But I decided I'm not just going to watch the crossover episode. I'm going to
watch everything
so before that. Yeah. And then I just didn't stop after
At this point, I just watched the one Supergirl episode that's the crossover.
And I still remember the musical episode.
Which still upsets
me. Loving Andrew's reaction to that.
Still brings you joy.
Oh, a tear comes to my eye. Tear of happiness.
I'm not even watching Flash at this point because of last season.
What? You didn't like last season?
That's not
you
the
didn't
Flash.
Like emo Flash?
Yeah, not a fan.
Okay. There's no more emo Flash.
There is no more emo Flash this season.
So I hear, but
there also is no more Kitty Flash.
I hear he's going to the Legends show now.
Oh, really?
Right.
I saw him in a trailer for a movie and wondered if that was why he left.
I hear he's going to be a regular on the Legends show. I'm upset the Legends show isn't back yet. I want that show back.
I don't want him on the Legends show because I actually kind of like the Legends show and I actually kind of don't like him.
He's real annoying.
I do like the Legends show a good amount. Like, it's fun enough. It's fun.
Yeah, I like it more than I should.
Savitar.
Really like it more than... You know what I've actually... Have you watched this, Damian? Because I know Andrew's watched this.
At the end?
Yes, the old guy did die.
Cold.
They brought him back now.
But he's back because...
Oh, all right, then I can watch
it
again.
Yeah.
All right, never mind. Because he's my favorite.
They literally, at the end of the last season, brought him back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, because he's not like reincarnated, which did happen before. They didn't even do that. They went to a different Earth, so now he's like a different person.
Oh.
But we'll see what that looks like.
Boo.
Yeah, but he is physically there.
Of course.
Andrew, I know you've watched this. Damien, have you seen the new American Crime Story?
Oh, yes.
Never. I actually watched the first episode of this.
Since
intro.
It's no longer about black people, you're like, I can watch it.
Oh, fuck you. I actually have the first season to watch. It's just that I know that I don't need to watch the first season
yeah,
to watch the second one.
You know all about black crime.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Then you think they're going to play Strange Fruit, don't you? So what did you think of the Versace pilot? Can I call it a pilot?
Well, I think it's...
Oh, that's what that is?
Yes, yeah, it's about Versace,
whatever
yeah.
Whatever Versace
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Gianni Versace.
Oh,
yeah.
That's... It's just a continuation of...
it's
a, just season two.
Yeah, it's just season... It's just
they're
an
doing,
anthology
they're doing
show.
Different crimes each season.
Yeah.
So
it's
I
it's
watch,
like the American Horror Story.
I watch an alarming amount of... sport. It's basically sports radio, but on TV. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they call it. But Fox has... a couple shows early in the morning, and there's always ads for that, and mm-hmm. I thought it was just a regular TV show. I didn't realize that it was that they were doing that thing again. I really didn't.
Oh, did you think that like
it was, just an
it
ad.
Was going to be maybe season two where they go
no,
into the one where he goes
no,
actually goes to prison or something like that?
I thought it was a brand new show.
Oh, I
about
see.
Them murdering
okay.
Versace.
Okay.
I didn't realize that that is what they were doing. But that's interesting. Yeah, I should watch that.
So I think it's funny that they've got two Spanish speakers mm-hmm. to play Italian designers. they've got Choco, who I've never actually known his
Edgar
real name.
Ramirez.
I just know him as Choco from Domino.
Choco.
Yeah, Choco. And Penelope Cruz.
Yes.
And Andrew, Penelope Cruz weird lisp. it's great.
I can't imagine. She knows how to ham it up.
Yeah, oh, there is so much ham.
Yeah.
So much.
It's the thing I've always liked about her. She's never taken herself that seriously. Like even when she should have, she's just like, no, movies are fun and dumb. And I'm going to enjoy myself and everybody else can go jump in a lake.
Yeah, but I think and probably especially because of her,
mm-hmm.
I think I like the show.
Yeah. I'll watch this.
Yeah.
I should watch the OJ one.
And there's, actually, the Cunanan
so
guy is
the
good
OJ one was so good.
Yeah, but there's
yeah, there,
so much
that
hype.
Was my problem, I think, with it.
Just
that there
so
was
much
so much
about
hype.
A story that I know from top to bottom.
And so, I may not know the story. I remember vaguely because
yeah.
I was young at the time. But also, you have to remember, this is a show with... an immense amount of hype starring a man that I could not have any less respect for. Right? In
fair
terms
point.
Of acting ability.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So it's very
but he's Oscar winning.
Very hard.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes. No.
Both
all right.
People I have zero respect
all right.
for.
No, here's the
him
deal.
And David Schwimmer, zero.
Here's
John
the deal,
Travolta
right?
though.
No, you can argue about Oscar winning and what
oh,
it
yeah,
means
and
or what
oh,
it doesn't.
So it's just a
oh,
cast
yeah.
of people I'll never watch again.
To be fair, John Travolta puts on
his
face-off
yeah.
suit.
Yeah.
It's I've seen bits of him. Great.
And I don't remember
Andrew,
his name, but whoever was Johnny Cochran is pretty good.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
no, I mean, people love it. So
and Nathan it. Lane was in it, and he's good. But the... What was I gonna say? So yeah, Oscar winning. Let's talk about that. Has anybody watched the movie that he won the Oscar for lately?
Ooh. Which one was it that
Cuba
he won
Gooding
it for?
Jr.
Good. It was for
Show Me the Money.
Yeah, that movie.
I always liked that movie.
So I've always liked the movie. I watched it recently, and I've realized that it's a thing of its time, and I still kind of like it because of the goggles, and maybe you know it has some like love story stuff that are kind of good, but
his performance
Cuba Gooding Jr.
is not worthy
in that
of
movie
anything
is not
any
good
yeah.
It's not good at all. I remember
he
thinking
plays
oh
a
it's
broad
great
stereotype.
But no, yeah.
Yeah.
It's bad
yeah
mm-hmm. And I think worthy of the lack of respect that I give his performance yeah. most of the time.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything that you liked Cuba Gooding Jr. in?
Snow Dogs.
I'm curious. Like, can you think of
Boys
one thing that you actually liked him in?
I don't think I've watched that movie really.
Yeah.
Probably seen like, you know, clips.
Okay. Because I was black and it was the only movie by black people for black people. It was part Which of movie? My required reading. Boys in the Hood.
I do like that movie a lot.
Yeah.
What movie would I have liked? Oh, Radio.
Radio, no.
It was Boys in the Hood, and I remember when they made the female version of Boys in the Hood, Set It Off.
I have watched Set It Off. Yeah.
No need to. What was that movie? There was a movie he was in. I think it's called Instinct.
Oh, Gifted Hands.
That's great. Yeah, yeah, truly fantastic. I love that movie for a long time.
The story that I had to watch the documentary of every year in school because, yeah.
Daddy Daycare. Norbit.
Oh, right. Norbit is a timeless classic.
A dairy tale. I didn't even know that was a thing.
No, you're making shit up.
No, right?
I refuse to accept that as an answer.
Alex Boat Trebek. Trip!
Alex Trebek, can you please take away his money? He's making shit up.
Rat Race. Andrew, do you remember when you loved Rat Race?
Yes, I do. I remember it well. There's some sweet memories there, and I will keep them warm by never watching the movie again.
I forgot
again.
He's in As Good As It Gets.
Yeah.
He was the agent guy.
Right. I do love that
movie. But again, I didn't like him in that movie.
And I do like him in that movie. Like, he's a ridiculous stereotype, but...
Yeah.
I don't remember him coming to America Idol.
Coming to America...
I don't remember in
well,
that
I guess
movie.
He would have been really young at that point.
A Few Good Men.
Look here.
He was not in... Oh.
All right.
Okay, so... I was getting a little concerned because apparently he's in Gladiator, and then I realized it's not the one that we think it is. Apparently he's in MacGyver for 4 episodes. Mm-hmm. Oh, snap.
All right, cool.
Oh, he's in 227.
He's in what?
Look at that. What? Do you not remember 227?
No, I don't remember 227. No 227.
So, this is a show that we probably shouldn't remember because it was on way before we were born. Or maybe right when we were born. I'm not sure exactly when it was on. With Regina King when she was a little young girl. And the reason I remember it is because BET played reruns. It's just a sitcom. Like an African-American family sitcom.
Remember when people thought Pearl Harbor was a good movie?
Yeah.
Oh. Boy, they were wrong.
Oh, I remember that.
So you know what is my dumb movie with him in it that I used to think was good? I haven't rewatched and I assume it's bad now. There was this
Snow Dogs.
Nope. There was this World War II movie where he played
He was a
diver. It's called
And
Men
De Niro
of
was
Honor.
In it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that movie is probably bad.
I actually bought that movie and had it on DVD.
You
the disc
not.
Is no longer readable and I threw it away.
That's how much you watched it. You burned through your DVD.
But oh I'm God. Pretty sure that movie is awful.
Listen to this lineup. Ray Liotta, Cuba Gooding Jr. Hero Wanted.
Nice. By the way, speaking of Ray Liotta, and that really shouldn't get me to this tangent, but whatever. Did you guys know that Martin Scorsese is working on a movie now?
Yep.
It's coming
the
out
Irish
next year.
Man.
Yeah, on Netflix, starring Robert De Niro.
And Joe Pesci.
Al Pacino and Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci got taken out of the nursing home.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think Joe Pesci's been on a movie in at least 50 years.
You said Netflix, right?
Martin Scorsese.
No, you said Netflix.
Scorsese.
Netflix. At this point,
it kills all talent.
The black hole that is their
but
movie
Duncan
production.
Jones, Damien. Duncan Jones is this
the
year.
Black hole.
Duncan Jones made a bad movie the other
Warcraft.
Day.
I know he did.
He made
a really bad movie.
I tried.
But the thing about it is though, I don't think it was bad in the sense that I think he made the movie he intended to make, and a lot of people like it. Right. No, I'm not saying that they're right because they're 100% wrong, but he did exactly what he intended to with the amount of skill he intended to use. So in that sense, I don't know if he made a bad movie.
I remember I tried to say nice things about that movie.
That movie's horrible.
And then I tried rewatching it. No, I have no attachment to the
it's
source
so
material.
Empty.
But that movie's garbage.
Yeah. It's just nothing.
I was 15 minutes in and then I went, Damien, just accept you're wrong and delete this movie. And that's what I did.
And of course, what helped us, right, is that essentially he said, you know what? Why don't we get Jesse and Tulip?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. And that made
They're
us want to watch
bad.
It more.
Everything, you know about
Everything
that
in that
bad.
Movie is bad.
Every single
yeah.
Every
when
part,
is Jesse and
inch.
Tulip coming back? Are they, is a new season this year?
Don't say things.
Pretty sure it's
me.
Like September.
So
what happened?
Because it's not on TV.
Atlanta comes back in the next few weeks.
They say. You don't know that.
Everything no could explode by then.
Right, you can't. Listen, the rate we're going.
And I'm pretty sure Legion must come back soon too, right?
Again, you guys keep saying this. Listen, they were all the things you like. Haster, Game of Thrones will be back in a couple of weeks.
Well, no. 52, I know Atlanta is back in a couple of weeks because I saw an article about that. That one is...
Damien, I can promise you that the Phantom Thread exists and it's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Apparently, it's the Robin season. I guess they're Robin. I don't know. Or, you know, maybe there's Batman in there somewhere.
So, yes, I just wanted to add, as we're about to close out the podcast, that starting next week, we're going to be doing a marathon in... my brain. Starting next week, we're going to do a marathon together with the podcast. We're going to be doing a marathon of Iranian films, which I know my co-hosts
Not
are
again.
So happy to be
Not
doing.
Again.
And we're going to be doing... a litany of filmmakers who we haven't seen that many of, even though I did stick one Kiarostami film in there. So we're going to be doing the 1969 film The Cow. We're going to do the 87 film The Cyclist by Mac Malboff. We're going to do the Apple, which is by Mac Malboff's wife, I believe.
Of course.
The Color of Paradise by Mahid Mahidi. And then 10 by Abbas Kiarostami. All within the next 5 weeks. So, Iran guys, I know you guys are looking forward to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Oh, cool.
I love Iranistan.
You know what though? I think litany was the best word for this because litany apparently is a tedious recital. Yes.
Did you look up litany after I said it?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Not because, just because I wanted to be an asshole. Because
Douglas.
I was saying to myself, and I was going to say it, but I couldn't bother. But five is not, you know, usually described as a litany of things. But given that these are Iranian movies, it will feel like 500. So, yeah. From deep inside the tears, I'm forced to cry.